This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jason Mackey here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
We're great. We're great. We're actually making the most of this, and we've settled into a nice little groove, if I do say so myself. It's not all bad. You just accentuate the positives. All right, so is there any indication of – you hear a million different things, sort of some lame brain scenarios, some things that may have some substance to them. Is there any indication – there's no timeline, but when it does get going, how many games they're going to play, how it's going to be played, what kind of spring training there's going to be, or is everything a guess right now?
I think you can sort of have an educated guess, at least as far as how things are going to look when they start back up. I mean, you can't say it's going to be this date or that date, because, you know, it's nothing that baseball can really control. But what I've been able to sort of glean about the startup and what it's going to look like goes like this. I mean, I think 2 weeks at this point is too quick of a spring training. I think your push and pull is probably going to be more in the 3 or 4 week range, where people have been sort of talking about we want 4 weeks. It probably makes more logistical sense to have three. Whether it's in Florida or the home cities, I think that is still to be debated. But if you look at sort of the COVID-19 curve down there and how things are going, I have a tough time believing you're going to send 15 teams to Florida when it looks like that. As far as how the schedule is structured, I think that is the most dependent on when this thing comes back. You know, if hypothetically it would come back at the beginning of June or whatever, which, you know, I'm not terribly optimistic is going to happen, I think, you know, you can try to get 120 games or so, or, you know, you can try to maximize the amount of games. If you have to wait until maybe after the All-Star break, that's when I think you're going to start to see more doubleheaders and just trying to get really inventive with how this thing goes. So I just think, you know, maybe a standard rule is just the longer it goes, the more funky the schedule might have to be.
Jason, I saw a proposal thrown out there yesterday, and I don't know how much this has been discussed in actual Major League Baseball circles or not, but we can ask you that, that revolved around as few as 100 regular season games, obviously canceling the All-Star game, and playing the regular season out through probably the second full week of October, and then playoffs would proceed as normal as they can into mid-November, with the World Series being played at Dodger Stadium as the neutral site, as that is supposed to be the site for this year's All-Star game. Does that still sound feasible to you, presuming baseball can start by the second week of July?
Yeah, I think that's perfectly feasible. And, you know, one of the things that I've understood being around this situation, and I agree with, and I think, you know, yeah, we'd all like to see 162 games played, or coming off of that, maybe you'd like to see 144, 120, or whatever number keeps getting thrown out. If they can't get going until the second week of July, which at this point sounds completely reasonable, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't play, you know, four doubleheaders in a week. I even question whether two doubleheaders in a week with each game being seven innings is reasonable. And so, you know, do you have to be okay with a 100-game season? Absolutely. And Derek Shelton talked about this yesterday when he was on with Cook and Joe and said, you know, yeah, there might be some non-traditional sort of rules in place, and we might have to play the game a little bit differently, but anybody who cares about baseball right now just wants to see baseball. And I'm in that same camp that, you know, man, I mean, you could think of the wackiest rule you could possibly come up with, and if you tell me I can have nothing or that, I'm taking that, absolutely.
Jason Mackey joining us here, Fan Morning Show. You can text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I kind of asked this way last time, or asked this question in a different way last time we had you on. The communication with the Pirates and especially their top-end talent, I'm interested in how they're staying in game shape and if that's at all possible and the concerns therein.
Yeah, I don't say this to sound negative. I know the Pirates' top players and all of their players are doing what they can to stay in shape, but I question how close to game shape, how close to game readiness anybody can possibly be right now. And again, that's, you know, I sort of couch that a couple different ways because I don't think anybody can really do that. What the Pirates are doing is this. I mean, they have devised individual workout plans for guys. They have a two-week pitching program that they're going through with that basically includes side sessions. They're finding some way to throw, be that into a net or to catchers or whatever, and getting video of that, and they're working through mechanics. But, I mean, that is sort of incumbent on what catchers or what sort of situation guys have access to, and it's just not a perfect scenario. And they can't walk out their back door and start hitting 90-mile-an-hour pitching. So, they're having, you know, individual weight programs given the equipment that guys have access to, and they're trying to make the best of, you know, baseball fields and where guys can throw and where guys can work out while practicing social distancing. But it's not perfect, and I think that's one reason why you're seeing, you know, I was on with you guys saying I was hoping maybe a two-week ramp-up, and the more I hear about this, the less I think a two-week ramp-up is possible because guys are going to have to get back into that sort of shape.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette with us here on the Fan Morning Show. I saw you mention this in your chat yesterday, Jason, and I think it's when we talk about the actual impact of everything on the game of baseball, more specifically the development of an organization, the question was something along the lines of, if there's not much baseball this year, very limited, or maybe even no baseball this year, if it gets dragged out to that point, how does that affect the Pirates' evaluation of their players? Because Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton have been very open and honest since they took over, saying, hey, we can't evaluate these guys without actually seeing them in games. Yeah, we can go by what we've seen. We can go by numbers. To a certain extent, we want to see them with our own eyes in games. How will their evaluation be affected by maybe only playing 80 or 100 games in relation to every single aspect of their organization? And how are the minor leagues affected by that, moreover, because we still don't know what the plan may look like there? And to make this a really large, unwieldy, double or triple-barreled question, what about the impact of not being able to maybe trade a Chris Archer at the deadline if he's performing well, or being able to flip something for prospects or continue developing pieces at a trade deadline if this team is not playing baseball at all this year?
Man, you are setting me up to blab for way too long, Chris. I'm just kidding. No, I'm happy to address it. I thought that was a really good question in my chat yesterday. To sort of rephrase it, just like, how does this affect the Pirates' evaluation and what they do business-wise? And, you know, I've sort of covered what it means to them business-wise, although you can't get into all of it, but that's something this new regime has talked about a lot, with how we're going to evaluate talent. And, yeah, I mean, obviously you can't evaluate guys in informal workouts. Like, you have to see them perform in games. And the way I answer the question and the way I would keep answering it is something like this, where it's going to affect their ability to evaluate. There's no way that it cannot. But I don't think it changes anything in terms of their grand plans, at least as far as guys that you know about. And what I mean by that is, like, Brian Reynolds is still going to be in the lineup every day. Kevin Newman's still going to be in the lineup every day. I think it potentially changes something with if you look at Cabrian Hayes being another year older, Colin Moran's going to be going to arbitration. Who knows what that number could look like? I think you probably turn the page. I think you think harder about just bringing Cabrian Hayes into your infield. So that's not necessarily changing an evaluation. It would theoretically change something in their outfield where you're going to stand to lose Gerard Dyson, Guillermo Heredia without actually ever having them. So you probably want to have some sort of eyes or feel for what Jason Martin can do, and I don't think they have that. So, I mean, that handicaps in there. But again, I mean, I don't think it changes anything in a huge sense from, you know, where the Pirates are right now to if they don't have a season or something like that, how it would change what they're going to do business-wise.
How are teams dealing with Jason? We're talking to Jason Mackey here on the Fan Morning Show. How are teams dealing with their, especially low-level minor leaguers who some of them live in different countries. I think of the Dominican and I think of Venezuela and even just spread throughout America here. How are they dealing with them and contact with them? And what about those guys? Are they keeping tabs on those guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're keeping tabs on them. And logistically, what I can tell you about what they've done with those guys, through this whole, like, breakup deal or whatever you want to call it, I mean, they've, and this is required by Major League Baseball too, they've had to pay people's, you know, whatever it costs to get home. And assuming it is safe to go home to the Dominican Republic or Venezuela or whatever, guys have gone, you know, the majority of guys have gone back there. If guys don't have somewhere safe to go, if it makes more sense for them to stay, then they've stayed. And in the Pirates' case, that means everything has sort of been confined to Pirate City, and those guys are staying, in Bradenton and working out as much as possible. As far as how they're keeping tabs on people, I mean, they have people in the DR. They have people communicating with people in the DR. That's, you know, Junior Vizcaino. I just did a story on a woman, Astrid DeGrucci, one of the several women of the Pirates organization. She would be one of them that, you know, they're keeping tabs on them and trying to allow them to do as much as possible. But, you know, I think when you get down into those areas and some of the places we're talking about, those problems just get magnified. It's harder to go find workout partners and organized workouts and, you know, where you need like a field, one person, social distancing, to do all this stuff and have a little bit of equipment on your own or something like that. And it's not that readily available. So they're having to get creative and they have people that communicate with those guys and try to keep them in shape as best as possible. But again, it just sort of funnels back to what I was talking about before, where I start to worry the longer this has been shut down, the longer the ramp up is going to take.
Why is that though? You think that the longer it's shut down, that we're going to have to go into almost not a full-fledged spring training, but you think that guys, they just aren't given access to work out or stay in the shape that they had built up through the spring training?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be possible. I think at this point, Colin, with everything that you can sort of every logical leap you could take with the COVID-19, I'd be stunned if spring training, one, isn't at least 3 weeks and probably more toward a month just because buildup of guys. And I think that stinks and it's hard to deal with because people are going to want baseball back immediately, but I think that's going to be sort of the compromise that they reach. And you know, 3 weeks is probably middle ground between two what the league might want and four what the players might want. But you know, just guys, just pitchers' arms, you're going to have to expand rosters anyway. But you know, you played ball, like, it's a heck of a lot different if I go in my backyard and throw versus if I step on a mound and go run, you know, try to throw 90 and get somebody out. Those are just different types of throwing.
Those games might be exciting, though, if you just don't build up and just go out there and throw it. All right, Jason, stay safe. We thank you for joining us. We'll talk again soon. And, just barrel ahead. That's what we're all doing. And it's not all bad. If you really start to appreciate things that maybe we, I don't want to say took for granted, but maybe we didn't appreciate the everyday things in the past, and we're doing that now. So thank you, Jason.
You got it. I think you guys are doing a tremendous job, by the way. I love that you keep, especially you, Colin, I love your attitude through this. It's awesome, man. I'm with you. Stay positive and try to find some good out of it. So you guys take care.
Jason Mackey, the
Thanks,
best.
Jason.
Pittsburgh
appreciate
Post-Gazette.
It, man.
He's just barreling through. I think we all are.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.